Hello and namaste. I'm Peter Furco, and this is Peter's podcast, where we talk about real yoga, actual happiness, and deep living. Thanks for joining me. Today I'm going to take you to yoga class. I re-recorded my lecture that I gave before class in the studio, so I'm going to let you listen to that, and then I'll take you into the classroom for the practice in case you want to join in and try the meditation. Enjoy. On my podcast last week, I spoke with a scientist who takes the class right before this one. He's also done teacher training here at ISHTA. We've always had a fruitful conversation about language that we use in yoga and the language we use in science and how similar words come up, but they don't necessarily mean the same thing. Or you can draw certain parallels or certain interesting metaphors from one to the other, but again, you have to be careful about what you're implying. One of the tricks we came up with to resolve this issue is to make it clear that we're talking about a certain model, a system or framework, a way of looking at things. In meditation, and in yoga as a whole, we're looking at a way of mapping one's experience as you move through different states of mind. We do this naturally every day when we go from being awake and out and about in the world. And then at the end of the day, we chill out. And then later, we fall asleep. And first we dream, then we go into deep sleep. And then in the morning, we start in a weird sort of half-awake state, and then we head back again through the cycle. In meditation, we cultivate those same kinds of movements from one state to another. The reason for it is that the state that is not your typical waking state has something to bring to the fullness of your life, to make you more whole, more complete. And in fact, the word yoga implies a union, a coming together of different aspects of oneself, with the alternate being that you're just using part of yourself, or that the parts of yourself are fragmented. So every day we go through those various states, but we don't do it in a unifying way. Instead, sometimes we're here, sometimes we're in our senses, sometimes we're unconscious altogether when we're in deep sleep, sometimes we're dreaming. So it's very fragmented. Bringing it all together lets us see more clearly what's going on, who we are, and from that perspective, we walk through all the parts of our living with more intelligence and less reaction, more wisdom around things, a broader perspective from which to respond. So that's why we care about doing this practice. And in the yoga model, we describe those states of being in certain ways. We do it in a traditional way, because yogis have been thinking about this stuff for thousands of years. So they started talking about what are these experiences, and they gave them names. So you could have those names as sort of signposts as you meander through your mind's activity. And then as your mind gets less and less activity, you move toward deeper and deeper states of meditation, and there are names for all of that. We use that language in yoga. In science, in that model, they're starting to explore some of these things as well. So they're using their methodology and their terminology. They're using EEG. They're using fMRI. They're checking out to see what's going on when we meditate, what's going on in brainwave frequency, what's going on in terms of lighting up different parts of the brain, and what even is a mind relative to what is a brain. And so on. So, now that we're clear about these different models, we're going to talk about the yoga model right now, and about the way that Tantra yoga, a yoga that includes all the various aspects of our living, not just meditation is good and all this other stuff is a distraction, which certain schools of yoga would have us take as a premise. In Tantra, we don't think anything is better or worse. It's all just a part of what is. But only dealing with this sensory aspect of ourselves is not going to bring us contentment or gracefulness or wisdom or anything like that. The answers are not there. There's this notion that in the beginning, something took place. Though why it took place is speculative, you can take your best guess and see if you were right after your life is over. But the notion in this model is that there was a desire for experiencing, for the kind of thing that's going on in our world. And if any of you are in a field in which you do anything creative at all, even in the business realm, if you make something up or you make a system happen, or you're in the arts and you make a project, or if you're in design and you create a document or a poster or a book, or if you're in the cooking field and you make a new recipe, whatever it is, there's something about making something, about creating something, about this experience of making that we all do. It's the nature of our living. Even if it's how we arrange our house or our apartment, we're being creative. We're taking something and we're transforming it. And in the model of yoga, we think of ourselves as having five different major kinds of energy, and one of them is literally this transformative energy. It's part of what we are. Some of us have a lot of it, some of us have a moderate amount, but we all have the innate desire and ability to make things or to make something happen. We go a step further in describing what's going on by saying there's a consciousness that is the source of the making and the reflection of what that consciousness has done, what just got made. And there's something there in that making and reflecting that is the excitement of it, the excitement of life. I'm going to take you into the class for a minute while I tell a story.
My sister used to laugh at me because I would stand at the counter and make a sandwich. And then normally people would, you know, take the sandwich, put it on a plate, go to the table and eat the sandwich. I always ate a bite of the sandwich. It was like, it was too good to let go. It was like the moment of creating it has now completed and I must just enjoy that, right? So if you make things too, you know, it's the same thing. It's like you're struggling with some problem in whatever your area of interest is. And then it's like,
aha, right? That's the nature in this yoga concept of what's going on. There's an intelligence and there's the what got made. And they admire each other in a way. The experiencing of that creative moment is a blissfulness. And that's what we're fundamentally stemming from. Like, if you like literature, there are authors who are unbelievably complex. If you're in business, there are systems like the tax code that are unbelievably complex. No political pun intended there. Look at the universe. It's amazingly complex. It's so complex that it can contain all those other complex things. And the creation of it, what an amazing thing. So what we're going to try to do today is trace back ourselves, our perspective, our what we're paying attention to from the level of the manifested thing, the what got made, the song, the pie, the tax code, the us on earth, whatever it is, the everything on this plane of the senses, we're going to try to trace back through the relationship of who we are on this plane versus who we are in this other kind of knowing, all the way back to that part of us that's the knowing. When the universe is first coming into being, or maybe a better way to say that is when the universe is in the mode of coming into being. Because when I use the word when, it makes you think that that's something that happened in the past. But even time is part of what came into being as our experiencing. So it's not like something used to happen and now it doesn't happen. This manifesting is just always happening. and time is just a component of the way that we experience it. But it's always going on. And in that mode where it's coming into being, you have the name Om. It has four parts, Ah, U, M, and silence. And this is the name of creation from the yoga model. The silence at the end of Aum is like the end of the ringing of a bell that fades and fades and fades and fades and fades until it's nothing. So the mantra is onomatopoetic. It's a description of how things come into being and go back again. It starts with a big strike, ah, and then it proceeds out into forever. That's the yogi's description of what physicists less than 100 years ago called a Big Bang that is still rippling out as our universe in time and space. It's pretty cool that yogis intuited this same notion thousands of years ago. To go back, return to the origins of us, that what we are before we're manifesting, we can use this A-U-M silence as a practice, and this is called Kriya Yoga. Mantra is sound, and when we tune ourselves to a certain sound, we're getting in the flow of that ripple of the universe in an intentional way. We're going to follow that vibration back to its source. My dog gives a good example of how this works. I have a dog whose hair is over her eyes, so she doesn't see very well, and when she's walking around, she doesn't really pay attention to what she's seeing. She's totally in her nose sniffing. But if there's an interesting sound over there, she's pulled right to the source of it, right? So same thing is going to happen here. If I'm in a group of people, and I say, sing a note, and they all just sing random notes, but then I sing one note nice and loud, they'll all tune into that note. So that's what we're going to do with this mantra. We're going to tune back into the original flow from ah, ooh, mm, back to the silence of our origin. So we're going to get in the flow of the sound and then sit back in the source of it, not fragmented, but as this wholeness, this consciousness again. So that's the philosophy of what we're going to do in the meditation practice. But first, a little bit of news. I'm delighted that so many of you are listening to the podcast. More great conversations are coming along, including my first live recording. That's right, it's Peter's podcast, live conversation that you can attend. Thursday, February 15th at Ishta Yoga in Manhattan. I'll be talking to Ishta Yogiraj, Mona Anand, and I'm looking forward to sharing insights and stories with Mona, who is a dear friend and long-time colleague. You can find out more and get tickets at ishtayoga.com under events. If you're out of town, you can hear the episode the following week, wherever you get your podcasts, right in the Peter's Podcast feed. Second piece of news is I'm continuing to fulfill rewards for my Patreon subscribers. A new special podcast, a Yoga Nidra meditation recording, available only to Patreon patrons, will be available on February 1st. So if you can sign up right away, you'll still have time to get it. Become a patron at any level by February 1st, and you'll get a copy of this recording, and you can listen to my mellifluous voice to use for Yoga Nidra meditation or to help you fall asleep. Yoga Nidra is outstanding for helping you deal with occasional insomnia or to achieve a power catnap. There's additional rewards at various levels of support. Cappuccino Q&A subscribers get questions answered, mantra-level patients can chant to help make life shifts, and genius listeners delve into hour-long sessions with me online. Want to know more? Go to patreon.com/peterspodcast. And do me a favor, talk about the podcast. Tell people you know, post something on Facebook or Instagram, and please rate the podcast on iTunes. It helps other people know about what you're enjoying. Thanks so much. Let's go and do our meditation. For the practice itself, I'm going to take you back to class. I'm going to bring you into the classroom. Enjoy the meditation.
The practice itself, we're going to do alternate nostril breathing so that we can bring into balance the masculine and feminine aspects of ourselves. I was going to see if maybe we could all wear pussy hats today to do that, but I couldn't come up with a source fast enough, right? So we're going to balance that so we're even in terms of those two sides of us, the one that's more active and organizing and the one that's more receptive and integrated, right? When those two are in balance, it's very similar to what happens to us naturally during our day. We get kind of daydreamy, right? So when we have those daydreamy moments during the course of our day, we're like, nah, outside, I lost track of what I'm doing. Where am I? I don't know. Oh, here I am. I'm back. Right? So we're going to try to induce that using alternate nostril breathing. Then, after that, we'll use this mantra, ah, ooh, mm. We'll feel ah in our base, which is like our survival centers. We'll use ooh in the middle section, which is our relationship zone. Right? And then we'll use up in the head, which is the area of our being able to go all the way back to silence, all the way back to where we're not engaged with the sensory world. We're transcending is another way to say that. Okay? So we'll repeat ah-u-mm, bringing our focus, bringing our energy, bringing our concentration up, and then letting it go off to silence. We'll do that three times. And in fact, I'm going to let us do it in a kind of a rolling way so that it feels almost like an ocean of Om, like in the Big Bang. Okay? And then once that's done, I'd like you to use Shambhavi Mudra, which is fun to do. You take your thumbs and you put them right in front of the flaps of your ears, which are called tragus. Does anybody know that? It's called tragus, okay? And then the fingers run right along the center part of your head. So you're just basically closing the ear flaps. And when you do that, you can't hear what I'm saying. So you don't have to do it right now. But when you do it later, it's going to bring your attention inward because you can't hear anything outward, right? So it's very good at sensory withdrawal. And you're likely to hear the sound of Om, which is a kind of a background hum. Sometimes it's very much like the whoosh of the ocean waves. Sometimes you hear it more as a kind of a ringing. Sometimes it's more like a horn kind of a sound, like a trumpet or a flute kind of a sound. So whatever you hear is fine. You're just concentrating in. And in fact, when you first start concentrating in, you might even hear your heartbeat. You might hear your breath very loud, but as you settle down, you'll listen to the background vibration of what's the created universe. Okay? So we'll sit there for just a moment. We'll do Ajna Vedana, which is to moisten this point between your eyebrows. And that serves as a sort of a like a post-it note, you know, like post your attention into your midbrain. So with all the focus there, we'll just let go, like those moments you let go to sleep. And then when your arms get tired, you can release that down and just keep your attention here, and then we'll sit there. If you need something to do, you can resonate Om a few times just to help you get settled and quiet again, and then just let go into silence. So everything we typically think about is in this realm of the manifest world. So we're going to try to go to not the thinking about it, but the simply being consciousness, being awareness. So you might still notice some things, but that's not the focus. The focus is on this, who is this noticer? Right? Who am I? And then can I just be in that? Once you start to have that feeling, you're feeling calm, you're feeling quiet, then we can say this practice has done its job. Keep your eyes closed, keep that inward focus, but let your hand relax down over your knee. It can be now or later. If you've already lowered your hand, just let yourself move into that sense of being in your own center. So the outside of you is soft, soft focus. Now we're going to work together for the first few times, doing ah, sensing it in the bass, vibrating the bass, ooh, vibrating the chest, vibrating your head. Let's just take them individually once, just so you feel the difference. So let's just say the sound ah and let it ring the bass. So take a nice breath in. So since we're making the sound with our vocal cords, you'll always feel something in your throat. But there's a depth to this resonance. Try it one more time. Breath in. Now let's make the sound ooh. As soon as you make that sound, the vibration of it, the feeling of where it's happening, much more in the chest than in the throat and bass. So take a nice breath in. Ooh. Great. And it doesn't matter what pitch, so if this pitch we're singing is hard for you to match, just pick any sound. Do it once more. Humming sound of M, that scent letter M. So go ahead and breathe in and out. You probably feel that very much in your lips, but notice how your whole head is really vibrating. So do one more time. Together. Ah in the bass, then we'll continue the sound, move up your focus, ooh in the chest, and then move up your focus, in your head, and then we'll go to silence, and in the silence we'll move right into the middle of your brain. We'll do this three times, and I'll lead it for the three times. So starting on the bass, so one third of your breath for each sound, take a full breath in. And then silence. And we'll repeat that. So you're drawing your focus like the drawing up a central channel, central line from your base through the middle, up into the midbrain, and then surrendering into silence there. So let's repeat that. Full breath in. Shambhavi mudra, where your fingers are running along the center of your head and your thumbs are pressing the flaps to block, then listen inside, moisten the point between your eyebrows, either before or after you do the Shambhavi mudra, and let your attention rest there, let your arms relax down, and you'll just be then, all right? If you need something to do while you're silent, quietly, silently repeat Om a few times, and then surrender again. Go ahead on your own now. three times just in a rolling thing. You don't have to worry about where anybody else is. Ah, ooh, mm. And then after the three times, the hands lock your ears. You can moisten the point before you do that, or after if you forgot, and then surrender. So let's take a breath in and begin. Thank you.
your attention recollect. Take your hands together in front of the heart center, in front of your chest, and gently move them. Feel the tingle of touch. Pull your hands slightly apart and you may feel a warmth in your hands, even without them touching. Whatever you feel, bring your hands up over your eyes. Feel the warmth of your hands on your eyes. And draw your hands down your face to the jaw, around the jawline to the back of your neck. And then from there around to the throat in front. And then re-grounding yourself, bringing yourself back into connection with your physical self. Bring your hands from your throat down to the chest, down to your navel, down to the pubic line. And then separate your hands, bring them from the hips down each leg, rubbing on your thighs and around your knee joints. And if it's convenient, you can rub all the way down to the soles of your feet. Otherwise, just feel your feet on the ground. Feel yourself reconnected with the earth. And this concludes our meditation. Namaste. Before we go, just wanted to remind you, go to peterfurco.com because I'm going to Antigua for Easter, going to France this summer with Wendy and Ulrika Norbury, and you gotta come. Check it out. It's gonna be really fun. All right? Antigua with Pepe Rekbrandt for Easter, lovely time, lovely thing to do for spring, yoga retreat, and beautiful sunshine, and then come to France in August, all right? Mona, we're doing the Peter's Podcast live right in the middle of February. So many fun things. Talk to you soon. Namaste.